Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today we want to continue to speak on the subject of armies of the kingdom, and specifically we are going to look at two things. The presentation will have two parts. The first part will be under the subheading battling for unbelievers, and then the second part will be battling for believers. Hallelujah. Now, our text is from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 3. It says, "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith." Hallelujah. So I want us to, as a background, understand the purpose of Timothy in Ephesus. The purpose of Timothy in Ephesus. As we have established already, there are two main armies of the kingdom, one in charge of the visible world and the other in charge of the invisible world. Now, believers are the royal soldiers of God's kingdom, and angels are the armies who are in charge of the invisible world. And Timothy was asked by Paul to do some things in Ephesus, and it is what he was asked to do that I want us to examine, I want us to look at. Because when we get to see what Timothy was asked to do in Ephesus, then we would see the setting for our battling for believers and then that for unbelievers. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 said that Timothy was asked by the Apostle Paul to remain in Ephesus so that he will charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So that was the first thing Timothy was supposed to do, to charge some in the church in Ephesus that I don't teach any other doctrine. Okay, so there was a problem of doctrine in the church in Ephesus. There was a problem there. Doctrine is just talking about teaching. Okay, so there was a problem of teaching, clear problem of teaching. What was the nature of the problem in Ephesus? The church was full of people who had a religious understanding of God. Okay, a religious understanding of God. And Paul had a kingdom understanding of God. And Paul put Timothy there that he would charge some that they don't teach a religious understanding in the church in Ephesus. That was the responsibility of Timothy. Let's see the extent of this religious understanding. Look at verse 7. It says that some were in the church in Ephesus and they were desiring to be teachers of the law. They desired to be teachers of the law. Okay. Can you imagine in the church that Paul had founded, there were people in it and their ambition was to teach the law in the church in Ephesus? What is it about the law they had to teach in the church? It's wonderful. This law is talking about the law of Moses. What was it about the law they wanted to teach? When the Bible has clearly said that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. When the Bible says that the law is a shadow of things to come and Jesus is a real person who was casting the shadow. So you can see over here that there was a major problem. There was a major problem. Hallelujah. People desiring to teach the Ten Commandments. Do you know what it does to the church of God? It ministers death to the church of God. Because the Holy Spirit said the law was a ministration of death, written and engraved on stones. That the law, the sting of sin was the law, meaning that the law made people more prone to commit sin. And that is what was being taught in the church of Ephesus. That is what they desired to people's ambition in the church in Ephesus. Hallelujah. So Timothy had a problem. He was to go and speak faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. He was to go and present the kingdom word to people who ambition was that they were going to be teachers of the law. And look at it. It says what? Understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So there was a problem in the church in Ephesus of doctrine. of teaching. There was on one hand the religious understanding, and then on the other hand the kingdom understanding, which Paul wanted them to know. Okay. Now, the second thing that Timothy was supposed to do was to do the work of an evangelist. I believe that correcting wrong understanding and bringing people into faith in Jesus was the work of the evangelist, so that people have faith in Jesus, not in the law. But for the sake of some of us, let us divide Timothy's assignment into two. The first one is correcting religious doctrine. And then the second one is doing the work of the evangelist. Okay, so with this background, I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and then verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 25. Paul is still addressing Timothy, okay? Now, we want to look at how to battle for unbelievers as the royal visible soldiers of God's kingdom. He says to Timothy, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Please underline opposition. In humility, correcting. Please underline correcting. Those who are in opposition. So, in the church, there were people who were in opposition. The question is, opposition to what? What were they opposing? The Bible in the King James Version says, who oppose themselves. It's wonderful. What are they in opposition in the church? Opposition people in the church. What were they opposing in the church? Certainly, they were opposing the kingdom word. These were people who were steeped in the religious word. Okay? Correcting those who are in opposition, if God peradventure will grant them repentance. So these people who were in opposition, they needed what? Repentance. They needed what? Repentance. That should give us a certain picture about them, that really they were not believers at all. But they were in the church. They had a religious understanding. And they needed repentance. Will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So look at the problem of these people. They needed repentance. They didn't know the truth. They were not in their senses. They were taken captive by the devil to do his will. These are unbelievers, pure unbelievers. These were the people the apostle was telling Timothy that go and do the work of an evangelist. In the church, you do the work of an evangelist. In other words, battle for unbelievers. Battle for unbelievers. You know, it is in the same chapter of 2 Timothy 2 that Paul said that, if we read from verse 3, 2 Timothy 2, 3, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Right? Now, in that same chapter, he's telling Timothy that in meekness, correct those who are in opposition, so that what? They will know the truth. They will come to their senses and they'll recover themselves from the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. When the visible army is fighting for unbelievers, this is what she must do. This is what she must do. She must what? In humility, correct unbelievers because they oppose themselves. They are in opposition. And I want us to note the word correct, you see, because sometimes people in the church may be wrong, right? They need to be corrected. With what? With the kingdom word, yeah? Not the religious word, but with the kingdom word. They need to be corrected. So what we use in battling for unbelievers is what? The kingdom word. The kingdom word. That is what the royal visible armies of God, they use to bring about God's kingdom. It is only the seed of the kingdom word that you plant can bring the kingdom. The religious word cannot bring about the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's just like a human seed. A human seed brings about what? A human being. The seed of a goat will bring about a goat. If you must bring about the kingdom of God in unbelievers, what you have to plant is the kingdom word. If you want them to see the kingdom of God, what you have to plant is the kingdom word. Hallelujah. So they are supposed to use the kingdom word to correct religious understanding. Because religious understanding is wrong, kingdom understanding is right. Hallelujah. It's important that we go with kingdom, the kingdom word. It will plant God's kingdom in unbelievers. Sometimes we don't go out with the kingdom word. We go out with a religious word. Let me give a typical example. Sometimes we tell unbelievers things about what Jesus Christ came to do, but the way we present it is like a religious version of the cross. Religious version of the cross. Have you seen a religious version of the cross? It's there. Religious version of the blood. It is there. And there is a kingdom version. Sometimes you can go to unbelievers and all that you do is to expose their sin. Expose their sin unto them. When we do that, what are we doing? It's like working with the law. You know what the law does? The Bible says that the law is good because the law makes you to know that you are sinful. So if we go and blast unbelievers that they are maybe drunkards and all that, we are not presenting the kingdom well. The Bible says that Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And then he went on to say, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Not therein is a sin of people revealed. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You know who the righteousness of God is? Our Lord Jesus. So when we go out battling for unbelievers, what we have to heighten is not their sin. Because, ladies and gentlemen, people know that they are sinful already. Without telling him that he's a drunkard, he knows he's a drunkard. Without telling him he's an idolater, he knows he's an idolater. So what you have to tell him is what? The solution to his problem. Hallelujah. Which is the gospel of Christ. You see? So when we are correcting unbelievers, you know, the kind of understanding which they have, which is not correct, we have to heighten Jesus and what he has done for them. That becomes the good news. That becomes the good news. Hallelujah. The good news that their sins have already been forgiven. You see the kingdom version of the cross. Their sins have already been forgiven. Not that their sins, when they come to God, then he will forgive them. But he's forgiving them already. So they should come to him. Hallelujah. They should come to him. It doesn't mean that they cannot confess their sin. You know, this confession of their sin is not confessing to be forgiven. It is confessing because they are already forgiven. That's the good news. Hallelujah. So you can present the gospel, which is the good news, in a way that does not really bring out what Jesus Christ has done. Hallelujah. So we should correct people who are in religious understanding. Unbelievers, they are in religious understanding with the kingdom version of the word of God. Hallelujah. Because our main weapon as soldiers is what? The kingdom word. It's the kingdom word. Hallelujah. Now, it says that if God perhaps will grant them repentance. You see that repentance is granted. Repentance is what? Granted. Repentance is not worked in people. Repentance is not worked in people. Once again, sometimes in battling for unbelievers, it is as if we are going to do something to them. We are the people who are going to bring them to repentance. So when we see that they are not repenting, do you know what we do? Then we release more sins. Because we must convict the people. We must cause them to, by all means, repent. But once again, that is a religious version of God's word that we present unto them. We should present the kingdom version, which recognizes what? That repentance is a gift. Now, sometimes if you watch the way we do things, it's as if we are the people who have to get them to repent. By what? Highlighting more of the sins. When we see that the people are not repenting, bring more of the sins. And then what do? We bring more of hell. Eh? We bring more of hell. You see, because we must get them to repent. And then we bring more of what? Words like, you are going to die, or you may die. You may die if you don't take him right now. You don't know, maybe tomorrow you'll be dead. Believe me, these are all our efforts to get them to repent. Eh? But that's not how we must present the kingdom word to battle for unbelievers as God's royal soldiers. Repentance is granted. The Greek word can also be translated giving. So repentance is not worked in people. We are not the people who are agent of repentance. Because if you see yourself as a soldier, as an agent of repentance, that is where you are going to bring what? More of their sin, and you are going to minimize what Jesus Christ has done, and you are going to threaten them with death and all, hell, fire, and all that. Right. But if we acknowledge the fact that repentance is granted or given, then you trust God that he will give it to them. Hallelujah. It's very important in battling for unbelievers to understand that repentance is granted. Now, sometimes what we do is that we look at what I call religious repentance, you know, where people maybe cry, they show physical signs of remorse and all of those things. By our working out, you know, the religious way, we get them to move into religious repentance. But the repentance that God grants is called kingdom repentance. Certainly this repentance here, Paul was talking about, is not religious repentance. It's kingdom repentance. Because God doesn't grant religious repentance. He grants kingdom repentance. What is kingdom repentance? What is kingdom repentance? There are results of kingdom repentance over there. Three of them. It says that if we correct religious understanding among what? Unbelievers, whom we have to do the work of evangelists, okay? If we correct them properly, we use the kingdom word, no other doctrine, but the kingdom word to correct these people, what is going to happen is that then God also will grant them kingdom repentance. So you see, kingdom word leading to what? Kingdom repentance. Religious word leads to what? Religious repentance. What is religious repentance? It is a type of repentance that the devil has. It's a deceptive type of repentance. Religion is the highest form of deception, ladies and gentlemen. And it can happen among unbelievers. When you release the religious word, and I'll give you an example of sometimes how we can even take the cross and the blood and present it in a religious man. Because we feel that the kingdom one is some way. But if we put the religious understanding down, you know, they will not get kingdom repentance. They will get religious repentance. And right from the scratch, they will have deception in their seeding. Deception in there, in their seeding. Right? So the kingdom word leads to what? Kingdom repentance. And look at some of the benefits of kingdom repentance. It says God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So the first thing is that kingdom repentance reveals the truth, not a truth. The truth is talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. As we end, I will show you what the kingdom word is about. But we can for now see that the kingdom word leads to God granting kingdom repentance. And the first result is that they get to know Jesus. They get to know Jesus well. Because some believers, they know Jesus is the Son of God and all that, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know the depth of his love because of the way that we present even the gospel. If we present the gospel in the way it is really like, then they will get to know the truth. Hallelujah. They will get to know Jesus, the truth. Number two, then unbelievers will come to their senses, right? And that they may come to their senses. This is not talking about physical senses. Though. They already have their senses. This is talking about spiritual senses. You see, because what happens is that demon spirit, they blind the senses of unbelievers. They blind their spiritual sense. The Bible puts it this way, that the God of this world blinds the eyes of unbelievers. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not talking about only eyes. Anytime you see one of the senses used in the Bible, it's just making you to see. The one is for all. Now, God wouldn't have to mention all the five senses to us. So he would say something like, faith is the substance of things not seen. It's not just seen. No. He's talking about all the other senses. But he uses one. Have you heard about synodoki? You haven't heard about. It is where you use a part for a whole. So you mention part, it stands for the whole. And many times in the Bible, that is how God does it. He uses a part. He uses somebody for a whole. He uses a group of people for all believers. You know, he uses Israel for all mankind. It's called synedoki. He uses a part. Like the sense of sight. For what? The whole five senses. Okay? So the God of this world has blinded the eyes. Not just the eyes. He has cocked the ears. He has blocked the nose. He has destroyed the taste. He has spoiled the touch. The spiritual touch of unbelievers.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, when we present the kingdom way, what happens is that, one, they get to know the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And number two, they come to their spiritual senses. In other words, the blindfold is taken away. The deafness, they hear, and they don't hear. That deafness is also removed. The tastes, but which are spoiled, is restored. The touch is restored. The Greek says that they recover themselves. They recover themselves. Because a human being who has lost his senses is very pathetic. It's very pathetic. And that is what unbelievers are. Demons, they block everything. They block everything. Destroy their spiritual sense. But the only thing that unblocks all these things is the persistent speaking of the kingdom word. Because that has all of the armies of the kingdom, talking about the invisible army, including the Holy Spirit, backing it. So it's like some pressure is put on the cork in the ears and pow, it opens. Like pressure is put on the blindness of the eyes, the demons who have blinded the thing, and pow, their eyes, suddenly they see. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So he says that when they get this repentance that God gives, which I call kingdom repentance, they will get to know the truth. They will come to their senses. And then number three is what? They will escape the snare of the devil. Escape the snare of the devil. It means that the devil has trapped them. He has trapped them in the deception of religion. You see, and Timothy's assignment is that go there and charge them that they should stop this religious understanding and let them preach the kingdom word. You, Timothy, go and give them the kingdom word so that what? So that they will recover themselves from their religious understanding of God. Because people have got a whole religious understanding of God. One such understanding is that God is wicked. God is wicked and Jesus is good. It's true. God is wicked. God, as for him, if you touch him, he is so vindictive that he will write it down and come and touch you. Have you heard that thing? Even up to today, people, some of you sitting here, you feel that God, don't touch him. It shows in some of the things that we see. And it shows up in how we don't present God as a loving father. Who so loved us. You see the thing. So God becomes a wicked person, vindictive. And God, he doesn't offer one child. But ladies and gentlemen, correct this thing. Nyakupan, haven't you seen it in life? Let me show you. Sometimes we think that, well, something happened. It is God who is paying. No. It is you who are paying the person back. It is you. Because you have the power to retain people's sins. Sins that God himself has released, though. You can retain it. And you can devour people. I'm talking about us, believers. We can devour people. You remember that Jesus was going to Samaria. Yeah. And the people didn't want Jesus Christ to come there. Is it Samaria? One city. They didn't want Jesus to come there. And this thing, it came up in the public. So, James and John, do you know what they said? They said that, Jesus, do you want us to call fire down and come and burn these people who have refused the anointed man of God, who have refused your word, who do not respect you? The thing was not like, listen, no, this is a city. It wasn't like spiritually Jesus couldn't go. No, this was physical. They would say, Jesus, you will not come here. Deceiver, we don't have anything to do with you. I mean, wrong things said about Jesus to an extent that the James and John, they thought that they had the holy anger of God. You see that? I'm sure that by their closeness to God, Jesus, they felt that they were on the right track. They were so annoyed. Say, Jesus, do you want us to call fire down? Jesus is not doing it though. He said, this man, what is wrong? The people, you anointed man, they are doing you basa-basa like that. They don't take your word. Read John chapter 12. You see it there. Say, do you want us to call fire down and come and burn all these people? Do you know what Jesus said? He said that you don't know the kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life. Today, as we speak, men of God can destroy men's life. Men of God, into inverted comments. True, because you do something small. Hey, if I be a man of God, if God has called me, if you are, I was called by God, then something should happen to you. Then you are destroying men's life. Do you know what happened? Jesus, the Bible says that he turned around and went to another. He didn't utter anything. He didn't. In John 12, he said that if you don't take my word, I don't hold it against you. I don't hold it against you. Sometimes when people don't take our word, we are so annoyed with God's anger that we destroy, we limit. So what I'm teaching us, ladies and gentlemen, is that unbelievers must be given the right picture must be presented with the kingdom word. That is what Paul was teaching. If you told Timothy, teach those things. You know, Acts 20, Paul said that he was addressing the church, in the elders of Ephesus. So he said, all of you among whom have gone preaching the kingdom of God. And then he broke it down. Says that he was preaching repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance means that changing your mind about God, not shaking and crying and those things. That's religious in nature. A kingdom one is a change of mind about the knowledge of God. Weapons of our warfare. You tackle the wrong knowledge of God that the devil gives. Sometimes believers, we ourselves, we have it. And we are so proud in it. But if we belong to the church that Paul founded, I'm sure that you tell us, don't speak any other doctrine except the kingdom word. In humility, correcting those who oppose themselves, correct with the kingdom word. If God, peradventure, will grant them repentance. So that the repentance will bring these three blessings. So that, number one, they will know the truth. So that, number two, they will come to their spiritual senses. All the blindfold, the God of this world has blinded their eyes, called their ears and all that. All those things, they will come to themselves. And number three, they will recover themselves from the snare of the devil. That's the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's look at how to battle for unbelievers. So this is how to battle for believers. Hallelujah. You see, this is how to battle for believers. It's just the kingdom word. How do you use the kingdom word? You use it in prayer, in preaching, and in teaching. In prayer, in preaching, and in teaching. To help unbelievers to know the truth, to come to their spiritual senses. They will see again. And to recover themselves from the religious trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. These are not believers. These are the people Paul was telling Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Hallelujah. In 5 minutes, let's look at how to battle for belief. That one too, you use the kingdom word. Your main weapon as a royal soldier is what? The kingdom word. Who is Jesus? Let's look at the same 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Please underline, be strong. In other words, be empowered in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, this is how to battle for believers. Believers need to be battled for, because the devil, the same devil, can trap their mind in religion. Yeah, can trap their mind in religion. But we have to be strong in the grace. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you don't get anything today, I'm very tired. I'm speaking under pressure. You see, just bear with me. I wish I could do better, but I'm very tired. And there are opposition elements against me. Okay. If you were a believer, I want you to know this thing very carefully, that the devil, once you have become born again, or want to trap you in religion. If you are a believer and you are a follower of Jesus and you are not strong in grace, I don't know who you are following. Write that down. If you are a believer of Jesus, you see, Jesus is your Lord, He's your Savior, He's your everything. You are a follower of Jesus and you are not strong in the grace that is in Jesus. Check the person you are following. Perhaps you are following some Elijah, you know, modern day Elijah. You are following Noah. You are following Moses. There was a time that Peter tried to put Jesus and Moses and Elijah in the same bracket. He said, let us make three groups. One for you, one for Elijah, the other one for who? Jesus. Hey, three boots. You should have said, let's make one boot for Jesus. Elijah, they will leg around. So let us make three. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And God had to intervene and speak, because the head of the church was getting it wrong. That's why he could say to God, not so, Lord. You see, he was getting it wrong. So God had to speak that this is my beloved son. Is that it? Say, hear him. Not hear them. Say, hear him. He had to pull Jesus out from Peter's understanding of holy people. So what I'm saying to you is that in order to present the kingdom word to believers, you must be strong in grace, because that is what Jesus is. He is the grace of God that brings salvation, that has appeared unto mankind. That's how he is. He is full of grace. And so if we are his followers and we are not full of grace, let's check the person we are following. Maybe it's Elijah. Once he's in the Bible and God said Elijah is powerful and things like that. Yes, easy. Let's finish. It says that, and the things that you have heard from me, What are the things that Timothy had heard from Paul? What are the things? What are the things he has heard from Paul? You know, in Acts 20, he met the elders of Ephesus. Timothy was there. He was a pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he told them, me, I've preached repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord. That's all my life. I have preached, gone preaching the kingdom of God. And then he used this phrase also, the message of grace. All of you, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God. And then he said the message of grace. And then he mentioned repentance towards God, change of mind towards God, and faith towards our Lord. Okay? So, what are the things that Timothy heard Paul speak? Do you think he was speaking the law? No. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell him that, look, I've put you there. You're a faithful guy. You know the kingdom word of Jesus' grace. Eh? Be strong in it. And those things that you have heard me, speak the same thing. Charge some. They should stop speaking. They should speak grace. So be strong in grace. It doesn't say no grace. Be strong in it. Be strong in it. But sometimes we believe. We say, oh, but I believe Jesus is gracious. It's by grace that we are saved and all that. But you are not strong in grace. We all know you are not strong in grace. Don't deceive yourself. It's true. You get close to the person you are talking, you see that this guy is not strong in grace. He's strong in something. Yeah, he knows grace. That grace is there. But it's not his strength. Alright, so he says what? The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore, please underline therefore, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier. So look at the context in which even Paul said that Timothy was a soldier in the kingdom army. It is by taking the kingdom word, being strong in the kingdom word, and getting the kingdom word to, not everybody in church can take it. Not everybody. So he says that look at those who can take the kingdom word and the things that you have heard, the kingdom word, put it into them and tell them to also put it into other people who can take the kingdom word, and on and on and on and on. By the time the devil says Jack, nobody can teach the religious understanding. We can see it when we hear it, and we will avoid pecking at it. Hallelujah. And in your course of doing this, that is soldiering. So he says that you therefore means that what I am saying, like you're a soldier, has got to do with what I have said before. Therefore, it's concluding. You therefore must be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In what context does he use this? When we are using the kingdom word and perpetuating it among people who are open for it. Hallelujah. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.